Okay, and we're back with the stately plump Buck Kelly and Aldis as well.
Yeah.
Aldis, thank you again for your time. And this is After Dark, so this is where we, lots of fun. That was what, 3.25 hours of James Joyce. I think Joyce himself would approve of such.
He
of
would,
such an
yeah,
epic.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
It was a Joycean length. Yeah.
Yeah. He put his work in, so he would expect anybody to put their work in too. Yeah. Yeah. If they're going to discuss him. So, yeah.
Well, so this is the After Dark Patreon episode, and we always tease this. Brad, what do we have here? We have the famous raunchy letters. Aldis, you're aware of this, right? I mean, the whole part of the lore. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And now I want to make sure people understand, I don't really judge this. This is private correspondence between two people. So, man, whatever you're into, that's what you're into. That's cool. It's cool with me. This isn't me looking down my nose at him.
This show is a kink positive, sex positive podcast.
We're all good with it. what's interesting about it is the juxtaposition between, and it's almost why it's perfect Art of Darkness fodder, these letters, because it's the juxtaposition between, you know, if you are an English major and you take a 20th century literature course, Joyce is on that Mount Rushmore, right? Knowing Joyce is a sign that you are sophisticated, for whatever that's worth. And, you know, he's a master of language. And then he has these letters that he wrote to Nora that are filthy. And the juxtaposition is kind of hilarious to me. So I'll read you some selections from a couple of them. And that first one is okay. Okay. So this is December 8th, 1909. He writes her a letter. "My sweet little whorish Nora, I did as you told me, you dirty little girl, and pulled myself off twice when I read your letter. I'm delighted to see that you like being fucked arseways. Yes, now I can remember that night when I fucked you for so long backwards. It was the dirtiest fucking I ever gave you, darling. My prick was stuck up in you for hours, fucking in and out under your upturned rump. I felt your fat, sweaty buttocks under my belly and saw your flushed face and mad eyes. At every fuck I gave you, your shameless tongue came bursting out through your lips. And if I gave you a bigger, stronger fuck than usual, fat, dirty farts came spluttering out of your backside. You had an arse full of farts that night, darling, and I fucked them out of you. Big fat fellows, long windy ones, quick little merry cracks, and a lot of tiny little naughty farties ending in a long gush from your hole. It is wonderful to fuck a farting woman when every fuck drives one out of her. I think I would know Nora's fart anywhere. I think I could pick hers out in a room full of farting women. It is rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart which I imagine fat wives have. It is sudden and dry and dirty, like what a bold girl would let off in fun in a school dormitory at night. I hope Nora will let off no end of her farts in my face so that I may know their smell also."
Well, that was the After Dark episode for James.
There we go.
Supporting the show. I gotta go. Wow, wait, good job reading that. I don't know if I could have held it together. I think I would have cracked.
It's a little tough. I mean, there's definitely more of them. One thing that's interesting from like a biographical note is there's one. So when I was describing their first date back, Bloomsday. So Bloomsday, where Ulysses takes off from and all of that, their date in Ringsend, I'm pretty sure he's referring to it in this letter. He says, oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find it, because I want to read it in his words.
I love this, because that whole pompous literary world, this kind of, it's just a little, it's a spanner in the works. It's kind of like, people. These are raw, dirty,
right.
Filthy.
Right.
And this is when this is before too. I mean, it was sort of like writing their own porn. They were like DMing each other, right? Send nudes, send bobs and vagines, right? And these are letters, and they're getting each other off, and hey, whatever.
Right, right.
You had to write your own porn back in those days.
You did. Uphill both ways.
We were all better for it.
We probably were all better.
Character building.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And this one's cool. It's because I feel like it's biographically significant. I was talking about the first date on Bloom's Day was walking around Ring's End, which is this park. Now, this letter, I believe, refers to that date. As you know, dearest, I never use obscene phrases in speaking. You have never heard me, have you, utter an unfit word before others. When men tell me in presence here filthy or lecherous stories, I hardly smile. Yet you seem to turn me into a beast. It was you yourself, you naughty, shameless girl, who first led the way. It was not I who first touched you long ago down at Ring's End. It was you who slid your hand down inside my trousers and pulled my shirt softly aside and touched my prick with your long, tickling fingers and gradually took it all, fat and stiff as it was, into your hand and frigged me slowly until I came off through your fingers, all the time bending over me and gazing at me out of your quiet, saint-like eyes. So Bloom's Day, Ulysses, all of it comes from him getting a handy in the park from this girl he just met. Yep. from such things, the grandest of literature emerges, right?
Please, yeah. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But I like that. I think it's good. And he presages some way, like Crowley, the sexual revolution and things to come. We're maybe a little ahead of ourselves here, and we're living on the edge. And you know, we were talking in the episode about this, like how scandalous it would have been to live in sin this way, much less go. I mean, you would almost have to go to the end of the earth. You'd have to go somewhere far away.
He actually, Joyce was trying to, when he was getting, he had gotten a biographer during his lifetime, and one of the things he told the biographer is that technically they had been married in Trieste, but through some weird legal bureaucratic loophole, it hadn't been legal or something, and that they had to redo it later. But that was clearly just a lie. He was clearly just trying to cover for Nora's, you know.
Yeah, it would have been in the church too. It doesn't, like a secular wedding. Yeah.
It just didn't add up. Yeah. Mm. And the biographer knew that, and he kind of was just like, I'm not going to say anything more about this.
You mentioned before that like the argument was about Ulysses that it wasn't a dirty book because it wasn't a book to make you horny.
Right.
It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's true.
Yeah.
Actually, but it's like, that's a your mileage may vary sort of phenomenon.
Well, that's
like,
true. Yeah.
It depends on who is reading that. But this is part of the thing about Ulysses is he just has no sense of revulsion of any bodily process. Like,
no,
the things in Ulysses is like Stephen picks his nose and like blows his nose on a snot rag, and like Bloom takes a dump and farts at the end of the Sirens chapter to end it.
Yeah.
Molly is thinking about how her period started early because Blazes Boylan had sex with her that day, you know.
So the book
is just filled with that kind of stuff, which is Joyce did conceive of that erotically, or maybe also it's just these are the things of ordinary life and he wasn't gonna like leave them out of there just because you're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, it may have had an erotic quality for him, but I think it's a little bit more in that last category. I think there's something about Joyce's religiosity that was like I thought about this a lot reading through. It's like his religiosity was like, we can find God in the lowest of things. So like it's everywhere. And so it's also like in some shit or in some menstruation. It's everywhere. And you know, well, menstruation is like, there's clear, it's not even that hard to make that part of some grand metaphoric narrative about life and death, you know. It's kind of right there.
Right.
So I think he could see that in everything, and that's part of why he talked about the high-minded moralism of Ireland was just cruelty and BS. It's like, you guys think everything humans do is wrong and keep telling us to do, you know,
yeah, right,
to like, you know, look up to God, but it's like he made us like this. there's a little bit of that. Like, this is what we are. This is, you know, it's the filth and the garbage and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. He's shaving himself at the beginning of Ulysses, and it's set as a cross.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
That's right. Yeah.
It's very clearly making a metaphor, you know, and it's the hairy beast, and you gotta winnow yourself away for the, Right. Fun. Well, explain to me in Ulysses, why is he going to be cucked? What's the story there? So he's walking around and he knows his gal is going to go bang some other guy. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to remember how he learns of it. It might be through, letters, because he picks up their mail. There's a lot of stuff about letter exchanges, and it's supposedly for some. Blaze's Boylan is like a singer, and he's supposed to meet her for something, but he knows that it's really like a, you know, they're having an affair.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he's kind of accepted it, right? I mean,
yeah. There's a thing where like I forget how long it is, but it's like they haven't had sex in a long time. They just have, like, that part of their marriage has sort of ended,
right?
But yeah, he's also like having a sort of an affair on the side too. It's not consummated, but he's exchanging letters with a woman and sort of flirting with her by mail.
Yeah,
going under the pseudonym Henry Flower. And it's funny too. Right. Joyce does actually like parody the idea that he's writing like a pornographic book by having Bloom carry around a pornographic book called Sweets of Sin that he buys.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that too. Well, you know, Joyce did have, there's no sign that Joyce stepped out on Nora or vice versa, but Joyce did have a couple like women that he became infatuated with and would write letters to and try to see and that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. He was given to obsessions. So
he was kind of obsessed with this idea of cuckolding. And I don't know if it was like something that he was, cause you're saying before, it just like drove him crazy that a friend had said that, oh, he was actually dating Nora on the side.
Yeah.
But he was also like, he was kind of tormented, but maybe a little turned on by the idea at the same time. Cause it's like, I haven't read or seen his play Exiles, but that Exiles is about this exact thing, this dramatization of this.
Yeah. Once he, so Cosgrave had told James that he'd slept with, or he basically implied that he'd slept with Nora. And then once Nora convinced him convinced James that was not the case, James did start getting turned on by the idea of other men he would like it when other men were checking her out and that sort of thing. He would get get him kind of riled up. Right. And I think that was an ego thing too. I think it was like a, you know, she's mine, but other men want her. And so that's like, that feeds into his, you know, not to psychoanalyze.
I got to look up a picture of Nora Joyce. I'm going to look her up right now. Let's see. Let's just go there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting. Yeah. These pictures are so, oh, wow. Nora Barnacle.
Isn't that the craziest name?
These are some fascinating pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's sort of slender, and was he a very slight man? He seems.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah. He was a small guy. Yeah. Hmm. Partially through, he was hungry for a long time. They didn't eat much, and he was drinking heavily too, but.
Oof. Yeah. Wow. Ah, this is fun. Their sexually explicit letters have aroused, Wikipedia, much curiosity, especially as Joyce, some Wikipedia editor is like, yes. Especially as Joyce normally disapproved of coarse language and they fetch high prices at auction. In 2004, an erotic letter from Joyce to Barnacle sold at Sotheby's for £240,000. It's like an NFT. We got to make these letters into NFTs.
Right, right.
We can retire.
There was a mention in the biography at one point when they were moving, because they were moving constantly, that Nora like tore up a bunch of letters from James and threw them away and was like, nobody needs to see those. But Rich Elman doesn't go into their naughtiness. And I can only imagine it was a fat stack of pornographic letters, right? Yeah.
Apparently there's a movie Ewan McGregor was in called Nora. It's an Irish movie. I wonder if it's any good. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, fascinating. And all of that business about his daughter, the madness in the family and everything, that really struck me. I didn't know any of that.
I didn't know much about it. I heard just that she existed and she had, you know, had issues, but I didn't really know the depth of it. And just the fact that she lived until 1982, it's very strange to... it messed with my whole perception of time, really. Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot with this show where they're closer than you think.
And
it's sort of jarring to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I do that final question to Aldous of like what he would be doing now is so funny to kind of imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, he would be a great Twitter follower.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How is he received in Ireland in his own lifetime? Did he ever kind of have his hurrah? Oh,
Ireland was the last place where, well, maybe not the last place, but it was among the last places where Ulysses could be legally published.
Wow.
I think it was the last country in Europe that allowed them to publish it. So it took a while.
He was not wrong in his evaluation that he really could not thrive there being who he was.
He couldn't fit in there. I mean, one of the reasons for the popularity of Ulysses once it did hit there was mostly everybody just wanted to see if they were in it.
Right.
You're in Ireland. You're like,
there was a good chance they were.
You probably were. It was like, were you in Ulysses? Who are you? You know, there was a lot of that kind of thing. But yeah, it took, you know, they didn't start celebrating Bloomsday, didn't start getting celebrated until the 60s. So it was a while before it really caught on.
Yeah, fascinating. Oh, here's a good picture of her. What's the deal with the? Oh, well, the eye patch would have been because of his
surgeries
condition that he had.
Oh, yeah, okay. yeah. But you know, he said. So I think it's pretty clear now that he had syphilis. But you know, he had this constant conjunctivitis. He had constant pink eye. And before I came across the syphilis stuff, I was like, I wonder if it's got anything to do with his like scatological predilections.
Ooh, yeah.
You know.
Right.
I never really looked into that before. I just assume he had some obscure eye, you know, disease, but that makes sense.
Yeah. So that between that and being syphilitic and he claimed it all came from some night he got falling down drunk and passed out face down in a ditch, which also could have been it.
I've got another bit of a letter I'm going to read. I found one just now. So to Nora, 20th of December, 1909. 44 Fontenoy Street, Dublin. My sweet, naughty girl. I got your hot letter tonight and have been trying to picture you frigging your cunt in the closet. How do you do it? Do you stand against the wall with your hand tickling up under your clothes, or do you squat down on the hole with your skirts up and your hand hard at work in through the slit of your drawers? Does it give you the horn now to shit? I wonder how you can do it. Do you come in the act of shitting, or do you frig yourself off first and then shit? It must be a fearfully lecherous thing to see a girl with her clothes up, frigging furiously at her cunt, to see her pretty white drawers pulled up behind and her bum sticking out and a fat brown thing stuck halfway out of her hole. You say you will shit your drawers, dear, and let me fuck you then. I would like to hear you shit them, dear, first and then fuck you. Some night when we are somewhere in the dark and talking dirty and you feel your shite ready to fall, put your arms around my neck in shame and shit it down softly. The sound will madden me, and when I pull up your dress, no use continuing. You can guess why.
Oh my God, dude!
This is why we do After Dark. And look, if there's a wave of unsubscribes from Patreon, I will know why. We are merely the messengers. Okay,
yeah, we didn't write.
And Kevin, that is how you get permanent pink eye.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, look, boy, this guy was ahead of his time.
In more ways than one.
He was getting it. He would fit in on any college campus right now. He's maybe not. Oh boy. Wow. Yeah. What a hoot. Well, Aldous, of all the work of his that you read, and we're going to get into this more because we're not going to call it like part two. It's going to be more of just like whatever dark room episode where we bring in Gwyn. But because, I mean, that episode was the Joyce episode.
Yeah.
But do you, of all the things of his that you've read, you know, kind of going back over it, what was like, what did anything were you surprised by anything? Did you find anything really brand new, you know, while you were in it?
Through like rereading?
Yeah, rereading.
Yeah, I think I mentioned before, I was just like kind of stuck on this theme, how far back it goes, of like the idea of the dead and the presence of the dead, the memory of the dead in living people. I think it's a little like Ulysses was this big scandal because of, you know, material like we've been discussing here the last few minutes. But the other thing, because he's trying to capture what's on people's minds, you know. But the fact is that, you know, Stephen and Bloom are both haunted by deaths in their life, you know, people that they've lost. There's a story in Dubliners too, that even before he wrote The Dead, because The Dead actually was not part of the original collection, and minus The Dead, you know, Joyce said that it was written in an attitude of scrupulous meanness. And that means a couple of different things. And one is just the style. It means that he has like a fierce economy of style. There's not going to be any, you know, superfluous words in it. But another is kind of his attitude about the people too. I think it's a little mean about them. But The Dead is much more generous to people. By adding that story, which ends very lyrically, and I was going to read like the end of The Dead, but it's good that I didn't, but it's because it's actually not representative of the style of Dubliners, right?
Yeah.
It's a little more expansive. And that story is also a little more, there's more of a generosity to it. And it's a Christmas story too. It's also very appropriate. but there's an earlier story where that happens too, to a character that this character is very judgmental towards other people. He almost has an affair with a married woman. He decides not to. He reads in the newspaper years later that she had been hit by a train, and she had like apparently let her life go to hell since he broke it off with her, and she had become like a drunk. And he has a moment where he's like, you know, I was right. She was of low character, you know. But then he gets bothered by, you know, the idea that he's been sort of shut out of life because, you know, because of this. And he wanders into a park where he sees lovers in arms, but he doesn't just perceive them. He perceives somehow all of the dead somehow surrounding him. So I don't know. That was like an idea that really stuck out to me when I was rereading all the stuff.
Yeah. That short story is pretty brilliant. I mean, that was something I read in school, in college, and was kind of blown away by it's the and you're right about the economy of it, and then to later to see the evolution from that to like Finnegan's Wake, it's pretty amazing. Yeah,
well, that was his thing, and you mentioned this, Aldous, that this interrogation of the form. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take the thing that we're doing and we're gonna break the form down until there's nothing left.
Yeah,
that's recognizable. Yeah, what a project and what a mind to be able to accomplish it. We didn't really touch on Beckett, but I'm sure when I do the Beckett episode, we will probably make our way to Beckett's intersection with Joyce, which would be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Beckett was somebody who actually understood.
Has anybody read Beckett's early novels? I'm only familiar with his theater work, but I understand he's like a little more Joycean in his early writing, and he kind of moves, you know, to something a little more, well, a lot more spare as he goes on.
Yeah, I read. I guess I don't know where it fits into his timeline. I read Molloy Dies. Molloy Dies? There's three novels that they
publish. Molloy.
Molloy. Then there's something, somebody dies. Murphy dies? I don't know. I don't know where those fit. That's the only prose work of his I've read. It was actually kind of late. It was like late Joyce in a lot of ways. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun episode too, yeah, Beckett. Yeah. That the starkness of his theatrical imagery in contrast to Joyce's wild arabesque. Yeah. Is that the right word? It feels like the right word. Fellas, this has been dynamite. I really enjoyed this. We've gone
me too.
For hours. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And hopefully we can, well, again, we'll have you on for this episode. I feel like it wouldn't make sense to do that with Gwyn without having you on.
Yeah.
You were so essential to this. So let's make that happen in 2022. And then,
And
then I think, you know, down the road, like later in the year too, next year, we'll find another subject. And if you're game to come back on, you know, come back on. We're having fun with this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Philip K. Dick. I think that's. Yes.
I think we talked about that. Yeah. I'm down for it.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be some time because our, but we'll chat. We'll chat. That's all.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Yeah. All right, guys. This is Kevin Kautzman, cool. Aldous Asterian, Brad Kelly, After Dark. You know who we are. Thank you for supporting the show. Peace. Take care.
Good.
Right. Later, guys. Yep. Right. Have a good one, guys. That was
fun. Right. Yeah. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
A lot of hours. Later.
Yeah.
See you on the Bird website.
All right. Yeah. Bye. Good night.